Hi, everyone. Russ Thomas here from RST Coaching Academy. Welcome to a new episode of Money Talks, where we talk about money and how to make more of it. Well, hello, everybody out there in internet land and podcast land. This is Russ from RST Coaching Academy, your host of Money Talks. Lovely day in Daytona Beach. This is, I believe this is the 11th of August, 2023 for an edition of Money Talks. Today, I have the privilege of talking to my friend from Charlottesville, Virginia. His name is David Borkert. Okay. And he is the owner and president of BizPath. And I imagine he's going to tell you all about that, how he got into this business, what it's been doing for him, what's been driving him crazy through the years, what's working for him, maybe what's not, and ultimately where he's going. So, David, I turn it over to you. Thank you for being my friend. And thank you for being on the program today. I look forward to getting to know you even better through our conversation here today and hearing the information that you have to share with our viewers, all right, and our listeners. Okay, so take it away, David.
All right. Well, first, I really appreciate the opportunity. I've learned a lot, actually, from you. Pretty new into this realm. My background is actually primarily in real estate and construction. I grew up here in Charlottesville, Virginia, where University of Virginia is, and then ended up down the road at Virginia Tech and have a degree from the School of Architecture in building construction. So that's always been sort of my passion. I love the smell of dirt and sawdust and seeing things come out of the ground.
All right. Creating things.
I'm a second generation realtor. My mother was a real estate agent. And as a kid, I used to love back in the old days, before the computers, the MLS system was in books about the size of a phone book. And probably a lot of your people won't even know what a phone book looks like. But the rules were such that you couldn't share that book with a non-agent without the agent present. And my mom was a stickler for rules and wouldn't let me thumb through the book. So I'd have to sneak. And so I got my real estate license while I was, I think after my freshman year of college, just because I was just so enthralled with real estate and what things cost and what was available. So I went from, with my degree, I ended up working for a couple very large commercial contractors. I was in Columbus, Ohio, and I had clients like Anheuser-Busch and Owens Corning Fiberglass.
Wow.
Large projects, high ticket sales. And I sort of got thrown to the wolves. You know, they said, all right, you know, here's a change order. You got to go sell them on this and tell them what it's going to cost and how to shut down. And it was also a big change because that was dealing with unions. Virginia's an open shop state. And while I started banging nails when I was about 14, never had any experience with unions. So that was an eye-opening experience. I couldn't go out to the yard and pick up a fitting and take it up to Anheuser-Busch. One of the shop guys that was part of the union had to pick it up and put it in my truck for me. Lots of rules and stuff that was all new. But good experience, loved Columbus. Ended up back in Virginia working for another large contractor. And we did, Marriott Courtyards. We did Army Air Force Exchange Service projects, vet school for Virginia Tech. From there, I ended up, I worked for Ryan Holmes in sales, which was a pretty sharp turn from what I had been doing, but a great experience. Took the Xerox sales skills course and learned a great deal about sales. That was
How did you like selling back then?
There were parts that I enjoyed. I really enjoy working with people. Back then, the you were supposed to follow scripts, and the follow-up, the cold calls was what I found the hardest, that 100-pound receiver to pick up a phone and make some calls. If I had someone that was truly interested, man, I was on it. I was a great closer. But breaking the ground, you know, give me a warm prospect, I was fine. Cold prospects, I found intimidating. That was tough.
Most everybody. It's tough for most everybody.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's a muscle that has to grow. And I still, there are times that that phone picking up, like I said, if I have a warm lead, I'm golden. Cold leads, that you know, I kind of have to take a deep breath and dive in. Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, once you realize it really is a numbers game, you can't be offended. You're going to have leave messages and not get calls back. You're going to have some hangups. You're going to have people that, you know, you've interrupted something, and it's just part of it. We deal with that when we get unsolicited calls, so I get it. But once you believe in what you've got and don't think of it as so much as selling, but as I have something that can help somebody. And for me, it helps a tremendous amount to go at it from more of a service. I'm trying to help somebody. They don't know it yet, but once they get to know what I'm bringing to them, then it's a service. It's to help them. And there's it's a tremendously gratifying feeling when you find a glitch in somebody's process and their sales or marketing strategy. And you say, look, if we tweak this, and then you do it and it makes a difference, that's the feeling that I get is, worth a mint.
Really? How, so you cut your teeth in architectural arena and then transitioned to sales. How did you, or why did you make that transition in the first place? That's really a whole different animal.
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily what I wanted to do. I got married, and it was at a time my wife actually had the same degree that I did, but 2 years later, and the job market was not strong and she couldn't find a job. She got a job offer with Ryan Holmes, and she was going to be in sales. And I realized very quickly, had just been married, and that if I took a standard construction job, she was going to be working, 10 to 7, and I was going to be working from 6 to 4. We were never going to see each other. I sort of talked Ryan. They didn't want to, but they were kind enough to give me the ability to be in sales for a different division under a different sales manager. But at least our schedules jived. So it was sort of selfish on my part, but I'm glad I did it. I definitely learned a lot. But we were in the Northern Virginia area outside of DC, and that was a rat race, and she kind of burned out on it. So put everything in storage and traveled around the country for a year. Had an old Dodge Caravan, drove around the country, hiked the southern half of the Appalachian Trail, was out west, and my parents called and said, we want to build a house. We got an architect working on stuff. We're getting close. How would you like to help us? So came back. I'm sure I ticked off the architect because I had him flip the house and change a bunch of stuff. But he got paid to make all the changes. And I think it really improved. Ended up being it was a huge house. But it was a good project. And I sort of went from there and started my own company and designed, built, and remodeled primarily large custom homes. And I got to work in some of the finest neighborhoods, Charlottesville, Albemarle County, and the surrounding counties. And just got, it was great. I got to work on just some absolutely beautiful homes. And
so you designed them and then saw them through to completion?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Were you like the general contractor as well?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. So you did it all.
In addition, I had to, because I had been away for a while, had to apply for my real estate license. I also got my Class A contractor's license.
Uh-huh.
So I was, you know, a couple licenses through the state to be able to do that. So I got a Class A contractor's license and a real estate license to sell real property in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And just went from nothing. So that was sort of my first real entrepreneurial effort to going with. I mean, I didn't even have a truck when I started. I had the Dodge Caravan that I had driven around the country and put a rack on that. But I was mainly construction management at that time. And I went through a variety of configurations. For a while, I had my own framing crew, and then I had different guys that could do rough framing and trim work. And I, you know, there's not much on a home I haven't done, from dig footers to bang on shingles. So,
you were also involved in the sales part of the business, I imagine.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny, to a great extent, everything is sales. I'm selling myself. I'm selling my capacity. You know, sometimes someone would come to me with a floor plan and say, we want to build this on this lot, and I'd, you know, look at it and say, well, yes, we can do that, but, you know, have you thought through everything? So, you know, I'd talk to everybody from the, like, do you want to see the sun first thing in the morning? You know, do you want to sit on the back deck and watch the sunset, or do you want to be in the shade? There's so many things that go into, particularly in rural properties. If you're in a tight neighborhood, you don't have those many, that many options. But right. We have a lot of rural area, and I was big in building large homes on large pieces of property. So I wasn't going to just rubber stamp things. I'd really put people through a list of questions to make sure that when we were done, they were going to really love what we had done for them.
Indeed. Right. Did this business, and this is where BizPath came from?
No, that was Abode Design Build. And so I did that for, I don't know, 20 some years. And 08 hit, and I kind of got left holding the bag, finished up. I had done two huge, you know, well over $1 million homes, and then I had a high-end remodel. And had a bunch of other things going, and all of a sudden the spigot got shut off.
Yeah.
And so that was a tough time. Went from, you know, building beautiful things to just about scraping wallpaper off the walls for little old ladies. You know, you
anything.
Not say no to anything.
Yeah. Right.
Got
on.
Pretty hungry. Right.
Yeah.
But about that time I had a remodel for a couple that had bought a house that had been in foreclosure. And unfortunately, the banks, in their infinite wisdom, would, when they foreclosed on a property, would turn off all the utilities. And so this couple bought this house, and then you had to fight with go through all the process to get to closing. Well, by the time they got to closing, the home was full of mold.
Oh my.
And it was ugly. So I started trying to find mold remediation, and everything I found was going to eat up their entire budget.
Hmm.
So it's like, oh, well, here's a problem. So I started finding ways and different solutions. So I ended up starting a mold remediation company.
Uh-huh.
And found that I enjoyed that. It took the stress off of when you build a custom home, you have hundreds of line items, and you know, it's one thing to underestimate something, but if you miss something, that means it comes out of my pocket. Whereas this mold remediation was pretty straightforward. My estimates had about 12 line items, and the contract, if I didn't see it, if we discovered something, that was an extra. But I really like that business. I guess it's kind of like trash or septic or whatever. It's dirty work, but it's straightforward, and it paid well.
Yeah.
So I started another company.
Right.
And I got certified with the state for that. They subsequently dropped that certification requirement, but so picked up another certification, picked up another business, and saw that through, and had been doing that until just about 2 years ago, right about when the pandemic hit. My knees had gone bad. I was always an athlete, and between soccer, lacrosse, ice hockey, and climbing rafters and homes and work, my knees were shot. So pandemic hit, didn't want to work because they could sit at home and get paid. And and then I was like, all right, work's kind of dead right now. I had both knees replaced. This was actually last year before I was able to do it. Didn't do them at the same time, one after another. But so I was lying in bed realizing that, you know, I didn't have help right then and physically couldn't go train people and try and get, you know, 20-somethings to put on a Tyvek suit and a full face respirator and crawl around in a crawl space. There's not many takers. So it's like, I'm going to have to reinvent myself. And I was, you know, that was kind of a downer. And I came upon Grant Cardone, started listening to some of his things. And so really since February, I've gone from just hearing of Grant Cardone to doing his business summit. Gone from really from ground zero to being certified as a 10X business coach. And so another entrepreneurial venture, but one that I'm really excited about. It kind of fits in to things that I've done. It's sales, it's marketing, it's helping people. So I'm just so excited, and I get to work with people like you, which is honestly, it's thrilling.
A lot of times you're making me blush.
well, in the construction trades, you know, you're not always working with people with high morals or high objectives, unfortunately. So that may be one of the vertical markets that I'm going to take this business to, because there's a lot of opportunity. But it's really nice to work with people that want to improve themselves and their businesses. So,
well, you know, that is one of the underlying things for success is the mindset, is for a person to recognize, you know, I'm not doing all that well. Be honest with themselves. I'm not doing all that well where I'm at. Something's got to change. And if they can get past blaming everything else for their problems, blaming the environment, their family, whatever, and say, I need to change and do something different with my life, starting with the mind, and take advantage of information that is out there that can educate a person on making the adjustments that need to be made. We all have to make these adjustments, unless we're going to just be stagnant and say, I'm okay where I'm at. And that's a pretty dangerous place to be at, is okay where you're at, and not be willing to expand, not be willing to grow. So that's the challenge, I think, is a lot of people say, well, I'm doing okay where I'm at.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I tell people, a couple things. One, you know, we've all seen the TV show where, you know, if you watch the heartbeat and it's going up and down, you know, a flat line is not a good sign.
It's not good. Not good.
No, not good. And it's not good in business or in your personal life. You know, that flat line, if it's a business, there's, you know, inflation, there's competition, there's just atrophy. If you're not, you know, if you don't have that line going up, things are going to overtake you and you're just going to go under. So it's really, I think, important to keep, you know, trying to improve.
Go for it. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, and the other big thing I found, you know, the young lady with whom I hiked and traveled was my first wife. And then I'm embarrassed to say, but facts of life, we were divorced. I had a second wife, three kids, got divorced again, had some crazy relationships. And to your point, you know, rather than complain, I mean, initially I did complain about, you know, all these crazy things going on till I realized that I was the common denominator. And to come to realize that, you know, I'm the common denominator. And I sat down and I made a list of what I wanted in a wife. You know, I've got three young kids that I'm raising. I need help with that. I want someone that's, you know, beautiful, intelligent, likes to play tennis. I mean, I literally wrote down a list. Well, then back to, you know, I was the common denominator. I had to write down the harder list was what did I need to be to attract that type of woman?
Wow. Very, very insightful. Yes.
Well, that was a tough process. And that's a lot of introspection. But it worked. It was after I made those lists, and I didn't share it with many people, but one couple with whom I shared it, we were out listening to a band one night, and my friend goes, David, there she is. And I said, who? The girl you described. So she introduced me to the girl, and we just talked for a few minutes. But from there, that is my wife now of, let's see, 12 years. And, you know, I feel sorry for the young ladies that I dated before because I was a mess. But my current wife, you know, the best thing in the world that's ever happened to me. And she's appreciative that she didn't have to go through all that.
Wonderful. So you got yourself in a mindset that you were willing to change. You were willing to change David.
Oh, had
in
to.
Order to get to where you wanted to be. And you know, and this is obviously a very personal experience, but that's where it is in virtually everything.
Yep.
What do I need to do? What do I need to change? You know, after I've set the goal of doing whatever, becoming whatever, what do I need to change in order to accomplish that? Not everybody is willing to ask that question and be real with themselves.
Yeah.
Wouldn't
well,
you agree?
You know, the old saying, you keep doing the same things, you're going to keep getting the same results. And
exactly.
The results that I was getting were not good. So something had to change.
Right on. Right. So yeah. Would you say that, you know, going through your life, your businesses, and you're still doing, are you still doing the remediation?
I have refined that to, I will do testing and inspections.
Okay.
I will manage a project or write a scope of work, but I am so vested in this 10X coaching program that until I find the right manager to step in and manage crews, I've sort of cut back from the actual remediation aspect.
Okay, but you're still in it somewhat.
Yeah.
What about the contracting business, the architectural design and building and so on? You still in that
less
to any degree?
So just because that just demands so much time.
Mm.
You know, I didn't mention it, but when I was a single dad with three young children, 10 and under, construction and real estate, your time demands are just off the charts.
Sure.
So during that period, I did some sales and marketing for a few tech companies and startups. And so that was a lot of fun, got me involved. I mean, I made sales to Sesame Street, AOL, NBC, you know, just a variety of of different firms, had one big project going to Turkey until the government changed.
Their governments or ours?
Their government. Okay. So that all the path that had been laid and all kind of got wiped out. But, you know, you sort of find ways to fill the gaps and to make things happen, or at least that's what I've had to do. And each one of these things is a stair step. You learn, if you keep making the same mistakes, you're going to keep getting the same results. So I've taken each of these sort of phases of life and they all culminate to where I am now. And I'm still a work in progress, but I have all those different experiences that I can take into this business, mm-hmm. And share my mistakes. I mean, we learn either by observation or experience and combinations thereof. So if you can learn from somebody else's mistakes, great. If not, you're probably doomed to make them yourself, but you'll either learn or keep having to face those same trials.
Right. Right. One thing that comes to mind is, you know, we set our goals maybe in stone because that's what we want to accomplish. But the path that we end up taking to get there is subject to change. And we've got to be willing to adjust our course as circumstances allow or demand in order to ultimately still get to that finished product, that finished goal. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, you're exactly right. I mean, being committed to, you know, the end goal and knowing why you want it and really being firm on that, and then being open to do what it takes. You know, you can't say, you know, I want a nice car. I mean, you can't go to the grocery store and say, I want X without being willing to pay the price.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. That's interesting. What
job listing.
What turns you on? What do you dig about being an entrepreneur?
You know, one of the things I found, you know, they say a lot of times entrepreneurs are the people that will work any 60 hours or 80 hours of the week, they choose to not work the 40 hours that someone else mandates. Uh-huh. So, but I enjoy the whole process. I think I would get bored. You know, one of my early construction companies had me doing estimating just so I got used to their process. And for some people that, you know, some of the guys I worked with, that they had been doing it for 30 years and they were great at it, but I had gone crazy. I like change.
Oh.
I like to do a little bit of everything. Even in some of those big houses I built, by the time I got to the end of the house, man, I wanted to start something new.
Isn't that funny how that gets old and it's like, okay, well, you want to start something new and it's really another house. But it's something from scratch that you get to go from the ground up. And then you'll end up tired of that one, too, and go to the other.
Yep.
So you like the action. You like the change of pace and all that's going on, either in the forefront or behind the scenes. Yeah, that's
right. On the plus side, you have to do some everything. You wear all the hats. You have to do the marketing, the sales. You know, you work all day managing people, and then you have to come home and do the bills and billings and the estimate for the next project so you keep the pipeline full.
Yep, that's right. Yeah. So you recommend entrepreneurship for our listeners?
It takes a mindset. And people can, you know, like Grant tells us, you can do very well working for somebody else. You find the right niche and you get on the right ship. It'll take you wherever you want to go.
Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really good point. I love entrepreneurship. I tell people I am a hopeless entrepreneur.
Yeah, I've been accused of being a serial entrepreneur myself.
I run across ideas and I think, man, I'd like to do that. But here now, like yourself, I'm focused on what I'm doing with RST Coaching Academy, and things may come along and it's like, I just can't do that now. I have to focus on this and get this going. I think there's two American dreams, I believe. One is for people to own their own home, and the second one is for people to own their own business.
Great. Yeah.
Home ownership is one thing. Owning one's own business does take a little bit more risk and a little more stick-to-itiveness, a little more planning and resource involved, and so on and so forth. So that's a challenge to people, that, but those of us that rise to that challenge and go for it, we're having a blast. I mean,
yeah.
we've been married 46 years. I've been in and out of a number of businesses for 50 years. It's been great. You know, there's been the highs and there's been the lows. There's never been the flat line. There's been no flat lines, as you referred to before. There's always been something going on, whether good, bad, or ugly. Another question is, what do you like about sales, about selling?
You know, I think I alluded to it earlier. It's the idea of, number one, being confident in what you're selling, that it will solve a problem for somebody. It's so much easier once you realize or know in your heart that what you're selling is going to benefit the person that's buying it. And, you know, there's an old saying, people love to buy, but they hate to be sold.
I know, right?
So once somebody sees how it's going to benefit them, then your job's easy. So it's a matter of, you know, it's like with your spouse or, you know, kids. If it's their idea, it's a good idea. If I tell them it's a good idea, it's not so much. So to get them to see, you know, the benefit, I guess, is so that they want to buy. Sales, and it's exciting when you actually, you know, get somebody and you get them to realize the potential of something so that they want to buy. When they make that turn, that's a thrill. You know, that's the first part of it. But then you got to perform. Then you have to show them. So in our arsenal, or for me, there's Cardone U, which is just an incredible library of assets online for training. Just phenomenal. And all the work that Grant and crew have done to put that together. But then to realize that so many of us, you know, I have books on my shelves that I bought that, oh, that'll be great for me, but never read. Or people buy programs. So that's where, like you and I come in, is to, you know, find out why somebody is interested, what we can do to help them, to plug them in perhaps to Cardone U, to get that online training, but then to help take them through that, you know, step by step, so that they're held accountable, you know, to their goal, to realize that goal is still out there.
So there's actually, you know, we have the capability of selling memberships to Cardone University, which is, as you know, it's basically a college level sales training program online.
Right.
Person can do it at their own pace, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that's one thing. But then what you're also getting at too is the avenue for accountability that we can bring as well, instead of just turning this person over to be on their own and put that on the shelf, as you mentioned, with all the books and don't do anything with it. We can come along and say, well, how you doing? How's it going? What do you want this to do for you? And how can we help you get there? And so there's the coaching aspect of what we do. Sales training, business and personal coaching.
Yeah.
Works together. Works very well. So yeah. talk to in closing here, talk to an individual, man or woman, young or old, that says, I like to venture out on my own. Give them a 60-second pep talk.
The pep talk really is, anybody can do it, but not everybody will. You got to be, like you said earlier, you got to set that goal, know what the goal is, know why you want it, and be committed to that goal, and then be ready, willing, open to get help to get there. And make use of the resources, like what you do to help. Even just these talks, there may be just one sentence that's going to click for somebody.
Yes.
And once you hear that, man, take it and run.
Good advice. Sure. Good advice. Yeah. So you come from a background of real estate. You were a realtor for a while.
Yep.
Architectural business, yep. Remediation, and now sales, training, development, and business coaching.
Yes, sir.
So somebody out here on internet land, podcast land, says, I like this guy. How can they get a hold of David Borkert? How can they reach you?
Well, I'm in the best way is probably just to call or text me. And okay. That's first and foremost. And that's 434-242-6545. And that comes right to me. Someday I may be sorry I put that out there, but that's all right. Fill it up.
All right.
And bizpathllc.com is being rebuilt. So that'll go live here in the next week or so.
Okay.
BizPathLLC.com.
Okay. And your phone number one more time.
Sure. 434-242-6545.
There you go. Folks, you can replay that if you want. Write it down. Give David a call. You see what he can do for you. We're all in this for you. We're all dedicated to helping you excel in your life. Personally, business-wise, every which way. Grant Cardone says that you owe it to yourself. You owe it to your community. You owe it to your family. You owe it to your church. You owe it to the nation for you to be successful. It's your responsibility, your obligation. You should be about being more successful. To say, I'm doing okay, is a slap in somebody's face, because in the long run, there's people depending on you. And they're expecting you and hoping that you will step up and help them out. So David, appreciate the time we've been able to chat today, hear your story, hear your insight, hear your advice, what's worked, maybe what hasn't worked so well, but we're all here.
Listen to this guy. Don't flatline. Listen to Russ, man. There's a lot of wisdom there. So appreciate you, buddy.
You're embarrassing me again. So anyway, folks, until next time, this is Russ from RST Coaching Academy at Money Talks. Looking forward to meeting with you again. Say, by the way, I've got a new blog starting here. It's rstcoachingacademy.com/blog, B-L-O-G. I'm posting some news and views, things that I come up with that may be pertinent to you, ideas that I pick from other people, interview ideas, and so on and so forth. And I've also got a replay of my audio podcast as well as the video versions too. So anyway, if you want to go to that website, the blog, and see what's going on there, love to have you. So anyway, we're here for you. Make use of us. Make use of David. Make use of me. We're here for you. All right. So I'm going to say over and out until next time. All right. Take care. Bye. Hi, thanks for being here today for another episode of Money Talks. I hope it was informative and encouraging to you. If it struck a chord in your heart, or if you have any questions or comments, please let us know. Visit us at rstcoachingacademy.com, call 386-286-2450, or send an email to email@rstcoachingacademy.com. Thanks again, and until next time, be great.